Saigon. We think tonight our time. Cabot apparently felt that they'd have to meet together in the government there in Saigon, and it would not be feasible to try to deal with this while they were out of town. So I would think that about all we should say today is that the leaders of the Saigon government have been visiting different parts of the country over the weekend. That they'll be back within hours, and that this will be taken up by them as soon as they meet again in Saigon.
Okay. He ought to got them back though. It seemed like he ought to got them back. Maybe we ought to originate it instead of waiting for them to take the initiative. It makes us look mighty bad. Just keep on waiting.
I think it had to be pointed out that that this was accepted, that a Christmas truce was accepted last year. That there was some dissatisfaction with the way in which the Viet Cong carried it out. But this is a matter in which there will be a very short, very quick decision.
What I would try to do is point out to somebody on a backgrounding basis what they did last week.
Right.
First, just let that drift in while we're waiting on the other. Just
right.
So it looks like that's what we...
All right. Well, we'll do some backgrounding here.
Now, on this India thing, what I think, I read this McComber's report, and I thought it was pretty good. I liked it. What I want to do, I don't want to be making huge commitments out there anymore. As I said last year, I'm kind of committed not to, unless the Congress looks at it and approves it, unless they feel like that they want to go along in the tune of several hundred million dollars. I'm not going to rely on Bowles and the do-gooders and the welfare folk boys, because they always for everything, Dorothy Jacobson and Bowles. They'd give away the capital if they thought it would, somebody to ask for it. Now, the Indians, according to my information, we gave them about 10 million tons last year, nearly $1 billion, and we told them they had to do this with fertilizer, and they had to do this with new production methods, and they had to concentrate. They've done a good deal of it. At least they produced 11 million tons more than they produced last year. Now, they have it in some of the states now that they could transfer to others, but they won't do it. It's like Texas having a surplus of wheat, but won't let Oklahoma and Arkansas have any of it. And I think their position is that there's no use letting them have it. They need it, and while it is more than they've had, that if they get it from the United States, they don't need to get it from themselves. Now, Subterranean told, according to the McComber report, that important to keep the pipeline going, even if we just had 500,000 tons of it. They, of course, would like to get the whole several million, and certainly 2 million between now and February. I understand we have 1 million tons in the pipeline in December that arrive there in January. That's about what we've been putting in a month. I understand that we've got 200,000 or 300,000 tons going in January that'll be there in February. Now, my thought is what we ought to do is just take the Fulbright position pretty generally on these things, that we don't want to operate independently and unilaterally on everything. We're not the only wheat producing nation in the world. France produces a lot of it. Australia produces a lot of it. Canada produces a lot of it. Now, Nehru, you've got to understand New York Times, Washington Post, and their editorial is not going to feed anybody. We've had an election in this country, and we had it even last year. The president said he's going to get the Congress to go along. It's going to be a problem for us. But you've got to get up there to United Nations, UNESCO, what's that organization? OECD, and you've got to get these folks. Well, Canada's always come back. They always frozen over. That's the first thing they say, they've frozen. Well, just say, okay, if they'll give you 2 million tons, well, we'll advance that much until theirs comes in, if they're frozen over. That's the excuse they always use. And Australia is sold out to China always. And we just sitting there with a cup in our hands, and we give more each year. Each year increases for the last several years. Now, we're just going to stop that because we're short as hell. And they're asking us for $2 billion more to replenish what we gave away last year.
Right.
And we can't replenish it. I'm not going to ask it in my budget. I just can't give it that way. So I think Goldberg ought to be put to busy. He needs something anyway. I keep seeing every day in Drew Pearson where he's playing a good soldier, and he's taking it, but he's telling the State Department that China ought to be in, and that the State Department won't let him come in. Poor fella, he's imposed on. Look at Drew Pearson. I told him to call Katzenbach today and tell him to tell Goldberg, you might tell him, that if there's any difficulties between you and Goldberg, let's keep them to ourselves and stay out of Drew Pearson's column. I'm not aware of any, and they don't give me any, y'all always together, but about twice a week I read down here about Goldberg's a very patient and good man, but he has one view to the United Nations, another in the State Department.
Well, I talk to him on the phone about every day or two, and he doesn't say those things to me.
No, but I would read him the Pearson column. What is it, Jake? I just gave it to you. Hand me that Pearson column. I just told him to send it up here. I just read the Pearson column in the Washington Post. Here's what he says. Ambassador Goldberg is a loyal member of the Johnson team. That sounds like that he's talking that much of it, and is carrying out State Department orders in New York. Inside the department, however, he has argued it's time for American approach to China and that it's easier to deal with China within the family of nations rather than as a belligerent outside, as the United States should adopt a two-China policy. Now, today, China has its own nuclear weapons and missiles and so on and so forth. Well, now, I don't think you're telling them that. And the two people involved, State Department and Goldberg. So I think somebody ought to tell him straighten that out with Pearson and give him a little letter explaining it so we do it. But get him busy so he's got some irons in the fire, see what he can deliver from France and what he can deliver from Australia and what he can deliver from Canada. And our position ought to be that we've got a congressional delegation going out there. The new chairman of the House Agriculture Committee wants to look at it. That we got 1 million tons on the way now in ships that are getting there in January. That we're going to have 200,000 or 300,000 more going in January. That if Canada, if France, if Australia will give some indication that they will do likewise, we'll be glad to join them. If nobody will do it but us, we're not going to do it.
Right. Well, now, Mr. President, I met just a few minutes ago with Barbara Freeland, Bill McCumber, and Walt Rostow, and we're trying to put together a package in which there would be 3 or 4 countries involved, including India, making some purchases out with their own foreign exchange. And I think that kind of a package would be the strongest. We're trying to get exactly what is needed in terms of out shipments, say between now and the middle of January, and that would take them into the greater part of their pre-election period. It looks like now it might be a total of, say, 1.5 million tons, but we'll get those figures exactly for you, and we'll try to work out a club here so that we do it in such a way as to include the Indians in demonstrating that they could take this seriously by making some purchases out of their own foreign exchange.
Yeah, they got 200 million, they could do that, and if we put in 500,000, I would go for it. I don't want to go much over that. That's 70 million.
This is the sort of figure we're working on. We'll see what we can do on it. Get back.
All right.
Thank you.